I would again suggest that you have your Bible ready and turn with me to Revelation chapter 7 and dealing with Israel and the coming great revival. The very thought of revival and the hope of fulfillment in our day should create such a desire and awaken such longings as compel us to hold God to His promises until our weary eyes be startled with the glory and wonder of revival. We know God can accomplish in a few moments, a few months, by revival what it may take men years to fulfill. The only answer for our age in all its confusion and disunity and fear is revival. Revival should be the church's number one priority. However, our consideration at this time is not upon the present and hope of revival, but upon the future and the certainty of revival. The revival I have in mind is not the revival of the church, but the marvelous revival that will take place after the church is translated. That amazing and remarkable revival of the nation of Israel that will take place at the close of the great tribulation period, this will be the fulfillment of Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 20, and Acts chapter 15, verse 16 and 17, and which is followed by the establishment of the kingdom of Messiah on earth when the promise of Joel 2 will have its complete and wonderful fulfillment. The Pentecost, following our Lord's ascension, was simply the first fruits of the Spirit. If you turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, after the first fruits there must come the harvest, when there will come a universal baptism of the Spirit, when they shall no longer teach every man his neighbor, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least even unto the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31 and 34. It is then the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth, as the waters cover the sea. To me, this is one of the clearest and most definite facts of Scripture, and the fulfillment of many promises. Revelation 7 gives to us the commencement of the final scenes of this marvelous period of revival. First, then, we have the first fruits. And here we speak of the 144,000. We find in chapter 14, verses 1 to 5, it makes clear that these were redeemed from among men during the commencement or just prior to the terrible tribulation period. Notice being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Then follows the wonderful harvest. Revelation 7, verse 9 to 17. Many commentators make this great multitude of verse 9 a Gentile multitude saved during the great tribulation, that period of the most awful judgment and suffering the world will ever know. Now, I cannot say how strongly I oppose such a view. Is it not logical and reasonable that the first fruits presuppose a harvest? And of the first fruits of chapter 7 be Jewish, how is it possible to make the harvest of the same chapter Gentile? Must not the first fruits and the harvest be of the same kind? The first fruits are simply samples of the harvest that is to follow. With that in mind, let us consider this chapter then, and remember that the happenings of this chapter are within the period of God's terrible judgments on the earth, known as the Great Tribulation, after the church's translation. First then, the sealing of the 144,000, the first fruits of Israel to God and the Lamb, as we find in chapter 14. Notice the first fruits are sealed. Takes place prior to the commencement of the final scenes of that awful period of trouble. Verse 1, after these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding or holding back the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, nor in any tree. The wind and the whirlwind are symbols of God's judgment, as we find from Jeremiah and Daniel and other places. Notice then here in verse 3, the command is, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads, which clearly indicate that the 144,000, the first fruits, were saved and sealed just prior to the final outbreak of the judgments on earth, the period called the wrath of God in the middle of the week of great sorrow. And let me say just here that I believe that the man-child of Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, is none other than the 144,000 of chapter 7, the first fruits of Israel, which are brought forth just as the terrible outbreak of anguish commences, and which the woman of Israel, or woman, meaning Israel, the mother of the male child, will flee into the wilderness to escape some of the terrors of that time. Notice chapter 12 then, verses 6 to 14. The symbol of Israel, or that woman, is not a single person, but it is a symbol of Israel in the period of great distress. Likewise, the male child, commonly supposed to be Christ, is not a single person, but a symbol of the 144,000. The first fruits who will be saved and sealed just prior to the final period. The word for male child here is arson, and is both neuter and masculine, and relates more particularly to a company or group than to an individual. Let us look back to Isaiah 66 for a moment. And this is interesting. Please take time to turn back and read this with me. The prophet is speaking of the final trial and coming glory of Israel. And he gives this remarkable picture in verse 7. Before she, that is Israel, travailed, something remarkably strange was to happen. And let us get this clear. The travail of Israel relates to her final period of trial prior to the establishment of the kingdom. We have it in Isaiah 13, 6 to 8, and in Jeremiah 30, 3 to 7. And also connected with Isaiah 66. Notice then, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. I will cause them to return into the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard the voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Verse 6, ask ye now, and see whether a man, a male, or a nation, Israel, doth travail with child. Some say the birth of Christ. No. When? Notice when this is to take place. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It's even the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's anguish. But he, the godly remnant, shall be saved out of it, or kept from it. Now notice this strange and remarkable thing in Isaiah 66. This child, symbolized by the 144,000, the first fruits of Israel's great harvest, which are to be sealed and secured just prior to the final phase of trouble, was delivered before her pain came. Verse 7, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. And that clearly corresponds with chapter 7 and also chapter 12 of Revelation. That is the strange and unheard of thing of Isaiah 66 and verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? It is unbelievable to the natural mind, the supernatural thing, the divine thing. This male child, born without the travail and pains of Israel's anguish, is the new Israel, the 144,000, the first fruits of Israel's great harvest. This is God acting in the sovereignty of His divine will, fulfilling His glorious purposes. Notice what follows this first fruits, or the first fruits here, verse 8. Shall the earth, the land of Palestine, be made to bring forth in one day, and shall a nation be born at once, reborn? This speaks of the suddenness and great rapidity which God will accomplish His work in the end of the age in relation to Israel and in relation to the earth. Notice, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. First her first fruits, then her children. That is all Israel. The all Israel of Romans 11 and verse 26. The great Jewish harvest. The great multitude of Revelation 7, and notice verse 9. That is, when the great tribulation, Israel travail, is ended, there will come the complete regathering of Israel out of every nation under heaven. The gathering together today is political. The greater majority of them are atheistic or agnostic. There are comparatively few real Orthodox Jews. But the day is coming when the joy of Jerusalem will begin. Notice what it says in Isaiah 54 and 1. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Isaiah chapter 45, and there from 17 to 25. Well now, secondly, look for a moment at the great multitude of verse 9. As stated, most take this as a Gentile multitude, and I find no warrant for this. Notice, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne of God and of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. The Amplified New Testament says, gathered out of every nation, from all tribes and people and languages. That is simply the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and his seed, the Hebrew race. Remember Genesis 13, 15, 16, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And in Genesis 22, 17, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of thine enemies, and thy seed, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. See also 2 Samuel 17 and verse 11. Notice the seed of Abraham, the Hebrew race, which was to be innumerable in multitude as the sands of the sea and as the stars, and distinct from the nations and the Gentiles. The great multitude is the final regathering of all Israel at the close of the great tribulation period and the commencement of the kingdom age. Now, there are many, many, many scriptures that we could quote to you with regard to this, and I suggest that you would read Isaiah 54, Isaiah 60, and Isaiah 61, Jeremiah 16 and verse 14, and also Ezekiel 37, and Joel chapter 2, 12 to 21, and also Zechariah 12, only to mention a few of the many, many scriptures that deal with regard to God's purpose concerning Israel at the end of the age. But notice, will you, in Matthew 24, verse 31, speaking of this very time, says, and he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. That will be the Jewish harvest of Revelation 7:9. And notice the next verse, verse 32 of Matthew 24. It relates to the fig tree, the national symbol of Israel, his elect, putting forth their leaves, which in some respect we see today. Again, I know of no scripture to suggest that the saved remnant of Israel, 144,000, will become the evangelists, preaching the gospel of the kingdom during the tribulation days, calling the nation of Israel to repentance. The angels of the Lord are going to do that. The great work of gathering Israel back to their land is going to be by the angels. So we need not worry for the moment with regard to God's method concerning his great purpose then. This great multitude then is going to be saved by a mighty revelation, just as Saul was in Acts chapter 9, you will remember. And notice, and it shall come to pass in that day, that is at the end of the age, the last days, the great tribulation, that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Then will I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That will be the complete fulfillment of Pentecost. Pentecost of 2,000 years ago was simply the first fruits of the Spirit. Notice also that this great multitude was clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. The palm branches relate them clearly to Israel and symbolizes their victory and establishment in the land as pictured in Leviticus chapter 23, 34 to 44, revealing something of the millennial glories as pictured in this chapter. First, it will be a time when the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Isaiah 35, 56. There are so many preachers today who spiritualize or allegorize the scriptures that they completely miss the truth concerning God's future purpose. Secondly, be a time of universal health. The inhabitants shall no more say, I am sick. Isaiah 33:24. This is a sick age, and it's filled with sick people in every land. And again, it will be a time of universal peace, for we find in Isaiah 54, great shall be the peace of thy children. There's no peace today. There's trembling, there's fear, there's war and preparation for war. But the day is coming when great shall be the peace of thy children, the children of Israel. It will be a time of universal rest from war. Notice Isaiah 2:4 says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn of war any more. We can't say that has ever been the experience in the past 2,000 years. Or shall we say even the past 6,000 years, it has been wars and rumors of wars, and the wars are increasing every week in this old world of ours, sadly so. So it's going to be a time also of universal worship of the true God. The multitudes will flock to the house of God. No weariness then, no fatigue and sleepiness then, no sickness or heaviness to prevent them. Notice what it says in Isaiah, too many people, that is many nations, shall go and say, come, let us go to the mount of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Many nations, think of the universal joy that's going to be on earth whenever the kingdom of God is established. No, my friends, do not listen to the preaching babbling of our babbling preaching of the day, to men who say that this world is coming to its end soon. Not at all. It may very soon come to the end of its wickedness after the tribulation period when God's judgment will be poured out first with regard to Israel because of the rejection of his son and their unbelief and their crucifixion of him. But thanks be to God, the day will come when they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall wail because of him. Oh yes, there is a glorious day coming when our hearts shall rejoice in the name and the knowledge that the promises of God will be literally and gloriously fulfilled in Israel and through Israel to the ends of the earth. May the Lord help us to understand better the purposes of God concerning the present and the future.